And I'm going to hand over straight. Andrew Kabbalah, we know them both, actually. And his wife is as powerful as he is, if not, you know, actually better. She's better looking. That goes without saying. Janine Kabbalah, she's spoken here in church, and she's spoken at our women's. She's an amazing, they're an incredible couple. They do travel all across the world with a great ministry. But we're so excited to have them with us today, Andrew. So I'm going to hand it straight over. Why don't we give Andrew Kabbalah a hand as he comes up right now?
Come on, let's give the Lord a big, big clap and thank him for everything he's doing. Come on, Bay City, we can do a little bit better than that, can't we? The King of Kings. Isn't he good? Isn't he kind? Amen. Come on, why don't you just lift your hands in the presence of God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, because there are many miracles required here today. And Lord, your hand is not too short to do the thing that is required in our life. So we've made room for you. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, to the Lord, because this is where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. And Lord, for those who need a miracle, come on. Lift your hands to the Lord. You need a miracle, even to do with finance, maybe a new job, a pay increase, sell that land, buy a house. God, that you'd make a way for us. Literally, in this next season, something can turn for us. Testimonies of the miraculous. Maybe today you need a healing to do with your heart. Maybe there's been disappointment, a wrong relationship. There's fear and anxiety around your life. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes. And so we lift again, believing. Or maybe it is healing. Maybe there's a bad report. The doctors are saying this is your new forever. It's not true. The Bible says, by your stripes we're healed. Yes. We literally believe that. We don't need to wait till the end. God is here now. That beautiful worship has set us up. Yes. And Lord, so we believe right now that pain would leave our bodies, that healing will take place. Everything's going to turn around. Everything's about to change. God, we love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, come on, if you believe that this morning, why don't we give God the biggest clap and thank him? Isn't he good? Amen. Why don't you have a seat? Turn to somebody and just say, I like Andrew already. Just prophesy that over yourself. Isn't Pastor Andrew and Pastor Marianne, aren't they the best pastors you could possibly hope for? Aren't they the best? You know, I love Pastor Andrew. I love his faith. I love his belief to help people. And, you know, he's a great teacher and leader. But who knows that Marianne's just a little bit nicer? You know, it's true. Like, Andrew's exactly true. It's like, hey, you know, Andrew's great, but his wife is a little bit nicer. That's what he said, and it is true. Thank you for having me back in your beautiful church. I'm honored to be here. Janine's in Brisbane. She's speaking at an event down there, and it's been really great. I feel very honored to be here. It's my son's birthday yesterday. 14 years old. Congratulations, Sam! Champion. It's good, and they said, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I honestly believe there's a great call of God on Sam's life to do amazing things. I believe he's going to be a great youth pastor, a great leader. And whatever you do, Sam, Psalm 1:1-3, it says, if you don't sit in the seat of mockers, but if you meditate on the Lord day and night, it says, whatever you do, you'll be like a tree planted by living water. And whatever you do, this is the promise of God, whatever you do, God's going to prosper you. And I believe that's a word for you today, Sam. Whatever you do, God's going to prosper you. He's going to bless you. If you don't hang around idiots, basically, if you don't hang around idiots, if you read the Bible, if you do what God says, you'll be planted. You're going to be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it good to prophesy over your son on a Sunday morning? And who would have known, even for me, you know, when I was 15 years old, giving my life to Christ, that to be able to see your sons in church, to be blessed life. The smartest thing I ever did was say yes to Christ in Jesus' name. Awesome. Well, it's good to be here, as I said, and my other son's in kids' church, and he's really excited about that. In fact, when we pulled up, Johnny said, I remember this church, can I go to kids' church? So you're doing something good, because he's an expert. He's an expert in kids' church. So if you guys were terrible, he'd be like, hey, let's go to somewhere else. But he's like, let's go to kids' church. So you're doing something good. Let me just tell you about a few things. We've got our USB. We've just got my messages on here, how I was healed of leukemia. I was diagnosed to be terminal, but when I was from 13 to 18, I battled a childhood sickness. But my youth pastors came and said, we believe in a different report. We believe that God can heal you. And that's honestly, that's why I don't think that God's going to heal people. I know he's going to, because God healed me. It is a different kind of faith, isn't it? There's a real a deep stirring inside my heart. And, you know, last week we saw many people healed. Somebody said they were healed of deafness. And the Rock Church in San Bernardino with the Cobras, they've got a whole deaf ministry, and numerous people said that they received healing, and you know, it's just been great to see God do amazing things. We've got our healed event. We run a school of healing. We're running 11 of them this year. We were in Hillsong, South Africa. We had 1,800 people turn up to that. And the whole idea is to train people in the miraculous. It is true that we will need a miracle somewhere in our life. But even more than that, there are people around our lives who need miracles. One of my very good friends was at a resort and in Bali, and they were just sunning themselves, and somebody was struggling in the pool. And so they jumped in to rescue them as they were drowning. Person was unconscious. My friend didn't know CPR, and they passed away. And I think that's a picture of the church. Actually, if they just knew what to do, maybe they could have rescued the person. But there are people who are sick, people who are dying all around us. We want to help, but we actually just don't know the ABCs of healing. We don't know the ABCs on how to move in the miraculous anymore. And there are people all around of us who need a miracle, who need intervention, but we're powerless because we don't know what to do. We're scared, we're frightened. What if it doesn't work? What if it, you know, what do I say? How do I say it? What do I do? But you know what? I'm believing that as a first response, we can give it to God. Before we go to the doctors, before we go to anything else, just give God the opportunity to do a miracle in our friends and people's lives. So we've got an event coming up. I was talking to Pastor Andrew. He said, you know, please, people came last time from here. We've just extended it just a little bit. So it's a Thursday night, a Friday night, all day Saturday, and then you can come back to church for Sunday. And the reason for that is because healing can just take time, actually. It's just, you know, the more I get into it, you know, the more I realize that time is such a key part of bringing faith into people's lives. And so that's why I think we've got a little video, and we're gonna play it. I hope it's going to bless you. Just put a bit of volume on it just to make it exciting. Somewhere in your life, you have to stand for Christ. Somewhere in your world, you're going to say, this is the day that the Lord has made for me. This can no longer be my forever. Something is going to change. I want you to know that God's got a vision for you, my friend. He's got a purpose for your life. If you've got a crazy dream, an out there dream, a scary dream, a great vision, I want you to know God didn't give it to you to frustrate you. He gave it to you to motivate you. No matter how dark it gets on the earth, no matter how much fear and terror and nervousness is in the world, you and I can be filled with faith and filled with hope and filled with the peace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. If we will keep speaking and being the light of the world, you will find we will make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, so I'd love you to come if you can. If you can come to some of it, come to bits and other pieces. It's $140 to come to the event, but today I would like to bless you and just, it's even cheaper than our early bird price of $70. So it's half price. So I think that's fair. And if you can't even afford that, then come and talk to me and we'll make something arranged. Because I don't want anybody to miss out because of financial a problem. So it's going to be great. Phil Pringle's my pastor. I mean, he's great, isn't he? And I like him. I still love watching my pastor pray for people, and because he's such a legend in my life. So be blessed. Get hold of that. And but by the way, it's for today only. So you have to sign up today. So think about that, because anyway, that would be good. Okay. I'm going to talk to you on the subject of limitless faith. I think there is a possibility, you know, knowing with God that nothing's impossible. In fact, that's exactly what Luke 1, verse 37, it says, for nothing's impossible with God. With God, nothing's impossible. When you're with God, when God's in the midst of it, nothing's impossible. I have to believe that as a healing evangelist, that even though the circumstance looks like there's no way that that can happen, with God, nothing's impossible. There's no point praying for blind or deaf people because the world, the doctors, everybody else is saying, this is your forever. But with God, nothing's impossible. So that's what we believe for the miracles. That's what a miracle is. It's a belief that with God, nothing is impossible. The house is going to be sold. The marriage is going to be restored. Everything can turn around with God. And so that's a pretty exciting thought. The first scripture I want us to go to, if you're a Christian, turn to your Bible. Otherwise, you can watch on screen. There's a little joke. Acts 19, verse 11. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. So that even his handkerchiefs, which I think is awesome, and aprons that touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. You know, God did extraordinary miracles. I love that. That it's beyond the normal. It was just like extraordinary. It was like God just showing off. You know, he did it all the time. He parted Red Seas. You know, he parted the sea. Would you say that was an extraordinary miracle? Feeding people like manna from heaven. You know, I mean, that's extraordinary. It's not ordinary. That's just like, even him dying on the cross was like pretty extraordinary, actually. Rising again, extraordinary. But now, even for our Western mind, this would be extraordinary. That the anointing on Paul was so strong that even his handkerchief, just a little handkerchief, you know, when people took touched him, and now it carried an anointing that when the handkerchief touched people, they were healed. That would be cool, wouldn't it? So you're just traveling with the handkerchief, drop it on somebody, oh, they're out of a wheelchair. That would be cool. But what, and now, and not only that, the handkerchief casts out demons. I've got a few relatives I'd like to throw a few handkerchiefs on. You have too, so don't worry about it. We've all got that. But, I mean, how did Paul get to a place that handkerchiefs are healing people? How did his faith get to that point? How is he so anointed that it gets to this point where now his belief is high that handkerchiefs are healing people? Well, come with me anyway to hear Matthew 8, 5 and 13, the story of the centurion. It says, now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is home paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. And so many people are like that. They're stuck, but their mind is filled with regret. Tormented about the things they should have done or didn't do, or just tormented in their bed. Tormented. He's stuck. He's paralyzed and he's tormented. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he's such a star. And the centurion answered, Lord, I'm not worthy that you'd come under my roof, but speak a word. Everybody say, speak a word. Speak a word and my servant will be healed, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said, this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to those following, surely I say to you, I've not found so much great faith, not even in Israel. Let's jump down to verse 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed. Everybody say, you believed. As you've believed, so will be done for you. And his servant was healed that very hour. I want to tell you, he is for you. No question in my mind that God is for us. That he's not half in, half out. He wants you to win. I love it in verse 7. It says, Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. You know, I love that there wasn't hesitation. I love that God was just like, immediately, I want to heal you. I was talking to my friend. We were talking about last weekend how people who were deaf were healed, how people walked out of wheelchairs, how it was just one of those great, great services in a very normal church. And he said to me, he said, Andrew, what was the key? I said, well, God was there. He was kind. He was good. I said, there was a hunger in the room. They believed that something would happen for them. You know, people ask me all the time, Andrew, how come it's working here and not there? And how come this and that? And next time, guys, you got to understand, we're in a fight. You got to understand there's a fight for your miracle. There's a fight for your marriage. There's a fight for your kids. There's a fight for your healing. There is a fight. The devil actually doesn't want you to win. He does not want you to be authentic in your Christianity. He is happy that you would come to church on Sunday even, but forget him on Monday. I mean, or even better, don't even become a Christian, because then you don't get to heaven. So there is a fight. The whole book, you know, the whole Bible is about a fight. A fight for man's soul. It's raging even now. Right throughout the world, the world is in turmoil. Why? For souls. This isn't about politics. This is about people's souls. And the war is raging throughout the world for this dominion. It says in John 10:10, it says, the thief only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come. God underscores it one more time, that you'd have life and life more abundantly. The only agenda of the devil is to rob you. And some of us can't even get that worked out. He's not actually for you. He is against you. He wants to rob, steal, destroy. What? Your life. Literally your life. But God is for you. You know, I love that the centurion had the revelation. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof, but speak a word and my servant will be healed. I love that he would say that. You know, I think it's an interesting thing that he would say, speak a word and my servant will be healed. I've got two sons, so if my son was sick, Marianne and Andrew came to my house, and my son Samuel was in a hospital. And I said to your pastors, I said, would you come and pray for my son? And they said, would come, knowing if they came, knowing without a shadow of a doubt, if they came and prayed for them, he'd be healed. Church, would you be excited about it? I'd be like, yes. I mean, I'd open the car door for Marianne. We'd be driving. We'd get a latte on the way to the hospital. Knowing, I'd be calling Janine. Janine, Pastor Andrew's coming, and a miracle's going to happen for him. Knowing when they walked into that room, it was going to happen. The centurion, he knew. He'd heard the stories. Now lepers are healed. Now blind people can see. Now
Things that were not possible because of Jesus was possible. He knew. But something weird was happening because he says, listen, Jesus, you don't have to come to my friend's place. Speak your word and my servant will be healed. How does he think like that? Perhaps he understood that in Genesis 1, verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was. Maybe he understood that the same God who was in heaven, speaking a word, bringing creation into being, is now somebody who is standing before him. Come on, church. Standing before him and knowing that the same word who was up there is now the same word here. And the same power that he had up there, come on, has got the same power here. And by the way, church, and it's the same power for us today. We just don't believe it. We just don't believe it. That the same word lives inside us, called the Holy Spirit. The same God, the same word. And when we speak it, it's got power. That's why, I digress. Stop. I got to go quick. You're naughty. Okay, trying to draw it out of me. But how exciting was that? That he's got the revelation that God was actually real and big. And those two facts change everything, don't they, friends? You know, he had limitless faith. He understands that now there's limitless faith. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He pondered, considered. Don't you like it when you kind of trick God? When God doesn't know the answer to family feud, you know, like he's like trying to figure it out. He's like, don't know the answer. He's like pondering, thinking, what is happening here? Why is he saying, don't come? Why is he saying, speak a word? Like even Jesus himself was like going, what? Because before this verse in Matthew 8, Jesus had to be in the room for healing. Friends, he had to put his hand on somebody for healing to take place. There was no such thing as speaking a word. It's never happened before. But now, this guy is saying to Jesus, Jesus, I know that you know that I know that you know that you're real. That actually, there is no limit to what you can do. So Jesus is pondering, saying there's something shifting in the atmosphere. There's something opening up. Jesus went to his hometown and tried to do miracles. He couldn't do them. Why? Because nobody believed. There was no faith in the room. But now he's stepping into an atmosphere where this guy is saying, hey, God, you can do anything. Just speak a word. Just say it. It's going to happen. I know that you know that I know that you are God. And if you say it, it's going to happen. So God's going, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. You're an incredible guy. There's no greater faith in all of Israel. And this guy understood that I'm God. Friends, the revelation that God is real. You think about that. You really think about this. It's not like a game. God's real. It actually changes. It should change the way we think, the way we act, the way that we come to God, consider God. It says, as you believed. Oh, my gosh. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you believed, so will be done for you. Friend, how powerful is that? That as you have believed. There is a responsibility on us to believe for our friends and our family members, for our life. I wish he didn't actually say that. I wish he said, hey, listen, let me just help you out. You don't have to believe at all. It'll be fine. It'll be a lot easier for church members. Just live in lack of faith. Don't you pray. I'll do it all. We'd like God to do lightning bolt God. But he said to this guy, he says, it's your belief. What you said, what you believe, it's going to be done for you. because I am the God who can do anything. With God, nothing is impossible. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God a clap and believe that. Wonder if the keyboardist can come. Have we got a keyboardist? We do. Do we have a keyboardist? Great. I know it's early. You're confused. You're like, what? It's kind of like it's only 11 o'clock, and I'm asking for romantic music already. It'll be fine. Let me just finish with these kind of little thoughts. Luke 8, verse 40. You would know the story about the woman with an issue of blood. 12 years, a problem. Unclean. It says of her, she came up behind Jesus. Interesting. Came up behind and touched his cloak, just a little bit quieter, thanks. Touched his cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding, pressing against you. But Jesus said, somebody touched me. I know, because power has gone out from me. The woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told him why she touched him, about her bleeding, and how she'd been instantly healed. Then he said to her, Daughter, your faith, your belief has made you well. So let's just think about it. So here she is. What does she believe? What has she been told? If you've had bleeding for 12 years, you're unclean. She would have been told she wasn't allowed to be around a crowd. She would have been told, you are not to talk to the man of God. Do not talk to the rabbi, the priest. He is a man of God. Jesus, she would have thought Jesus would never have spoken to her. Jesus was never going to put his hand on her. So what does she do? She's heard about the stories. She's heard about the lepers. She's heard about the blind. And perhaps she's thinking to herself, maybe God could do something for me. So she comes into the crowd where she shouldn't have been. She comes up behind him and sneakily, come on, friends, sneakily, not touching himself, but says, if I can just touch his garment, maybe that's enough. If I can just get a touch. So she comes, and just the edge, just a whiff, just a sniff of faith, a mustard seed of faith, touches. And Jesus stops the whole show. He's like, hey, boys, somebody touch me. They're like, cuckoo. All the disciples were there. Andrew, Peter, the boys, all the boys were there. They're like, Jesus, you finally lost it. There's hundreds pushing against you. He goes, no. Power has gone out from me. You see, somebody, the girl's embarrassed. She knew she couldn't be there. So much so she's trembling because she's worried she's going to get scolded because for 12 years she's been told she can't be there. And she said, I touched you on the garment and faith, healing's come to me. Jesus is smiling. He says, babe, girl, daughter, it's your faith has made you well. You believed that a touch of a garment would be enough. First a word, now a touch of a garment. You haven't got it yet. Okay, well, let's go one more then. Acts 5, I've got to go quick, 15. As a result, people brought sick into the streets. Oh, my gosh. And laid them on their beds. I'm preaching this to myself. I get too excited. So that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as they pass by. Crowds gathered from around the towns of Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Oh, man. Shut the gate. Could you imagine Peter waking up that day going, oh, my God, Shadow, look at you. Shadow, you are looking good. Have you lost weight? Shadow, have you lost weight? Shadow, we are going to heal people today. Shadow, you are anointed. No, honestly, do you think that was the conversation? I'm not sure if it was. I'm not sure when Peter was walking down the street and people were getting healed, if he had even planned, if he was part of the planning. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, how is this? How do people get healed of a shadow? That's cool. I think that's pretty fun. I reckon it was like this. I reckon as they laid the sick people down, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe the shadow was longest. Crowds were gathering now around Paul. People were walking past him. A crippled man, the first one, was standing there, sitting there, hoping to get a word from him, hoping that Paul would touch him. Peter would touch him somehow. He would be seen, but there's too many people. The noise is too much. He sees a shadow. Maybe somebody who's been under a shadow for 3 years. Maybe somebody anointed. Maybe somebody from Bay City who's filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe a shadow who's somebody who's been under a shadow would be enough. Can you imagine the shadow passing by? It can't touch him yet. It's too far out, but he reaches forward and touches the shadow. To his amazement, come on somebody. To his amazement, his legs are strong. He turns to his friend and says, if you touch the shadow, you're going to be healed. Now another is touching. Now another. They're going along, reaching forward to touch a shadow. And it says of the shadow that every person was healed. There wasn't disappointment. Friend, let me underscore the thought. How did that happen? A sick person decided, I cannot get to him. Jesus has now gone. Jesus will never speak into my life. I cannot touch his garment. But perhaps somebody anointed. Perhaps they would do it. Well, they can't. They're too far away. They're too far gone. But if I can touch his shadow, maybe that's enough. It wasn't one. Everyone was healed when the shadow touched them. Could you imagine the hysteria? Could you imagine the rumors? Now, first a word, now a garment, and now a shadow. Nothing is impossible. We put God in the box. It has to be this way, that way, this way, this way, that way. God says, hey, listen, I'm way bigger than your little way it has to be. I can do it any way you want. What's required of us? What's required of us, church? That we would believe. Something. The common denominator in all these stories were they believed. Don't have to have much, just a whiff. Let's come back to Acts 19. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, that even a handkerchief and aprons that touched him were taken, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Why now are handkerchiefs? Paul is healing people with handkerchiefs. Just a simple handkerchief. How can it be so powerful? I reckon he was there. I've got a feeling that when Jesus was walking down the road and the woman touched his garment, Paul was there. He saw the miracle. He is thinking, shut the gate. If God did it there, perhaps he can do it here. But now, let's just take it to a whole new level where the anointing doesn't just live in garments, it's transportable. Archon Paul was there. He saw it. And he's like, man, God, how big are you? You know, friends, we all need miracles. A lot of these people didn't know the Lord, didn't know things. You don't need to know God to have a miracle in your life. Somehow, I just kind of find that if you're on God's side, it kind of just seems to go a little bit better. I've been doing this a long time, praying for people. You know, that psalm says, I lift up my eyes to the Lord. This is where my help comes from. I love that psalm because the psalmist, there's something inside of him that says, I lift my eyes to the Lord. What does that mean? Basically, you know, what's a message about? What's this whole sermon about? It's me trying to get you to lift. That's what a message is. It's why we go to church. It's trying to remind you that God's real again. We go, flip, I forgot. That was like a week ago. Yeah. No, I was, God, you're real again. That's the agenda of the whole message. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the Lord. If I could lift for you, if I could even believe for you, I would do it. With all my heart, I would do it. I can't do it. Something inside of you has to say, I'm going to lift. And that's where the miracle begins. Something inside of you says, you know, God, I'm not sure, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's what faith is. That's what belief is. I'm not sure, but God, I'm connecting with you. And then the miracle comes. We want the miracle before the lift. Go, no. You got to believe first. Something inside of you has to believe first. So, you know, before we carry on and pray for miracles, I want us to examine our heart. Just ask the question, God, how am I doing? Me and you. In a moment, I'm going to explain what's going to happen. So I don't want you to feel tricked or manipulated anyway. But in a moment, I want you to close your eyes. Not now, but in a moment. Because when you close your eyes, isn't it true? Everything else kind of disappears. But your soul and your thoughts are illuminated. They come alive. And I just want you to ask this question to your soul. Am I in relationship with God? It's an honest question. It's a fair question. It's not manipulative. That's just you and God talking. And what I know about that is that God will talk to you straight away. There may not be like an audible voice from heaven booming down. But certainly there'd be a stirring, huh? Like a prompting inside of you. And I should respond to that. You know, it's funny. As soon as you pray and ask God for a response, so will the devil. He'll talk to you as well. Why? Because we told you in John 10, the devil's got an agenda to rob, steal, destroy. He doesn't want you to become a Christian. He doesn't want you to be healed. He wants you to remain the same, beaten up, broken, depressed. If the devil's whispering to you today, you just tell him, no. Devil, you got it wrong. Today's about me, my life, my miracle. I'm going to believe God. Believe God. I'm going to believe God. And lift. What does a lift look like? Well, in a practical sense, it's just like just saying yes to God. Say, God, I need you. As you're pondering that thought, I'm going to pray for you. At the end of the prayer, I'm going to invite you, if you want to give your life to Christ or rededicate your life to the Lord, to pray a prayer with me. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for. Just where you said it, all together, so you don't feel alone or embarrassed. We're going to pray that prayer, saying, God, today I'm asking you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Give you my life. I give you total control. Help me live for you. Forgive me for any wrongs. Today, I'm a child of God. A simple prayer. But I'm telling you, that prayer has power. And then we're going to pray and ask God. So why don't we just close your eyes and just ponder that thought. For some people, even just to do that, even just to close your eyes would be a hard thing. But you've come this far. You've come this far. Friend, could you just close your eyes and just consider that moment? Am I in relationship with God? Let me pray for you as you think about that. God, I thank you for those people who are here for the first time. Maybe second time, maybe visiting from another church. They're saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but if I'm honest, I'm not in relationship with him. But something has to turn. Something has to shift for me. You know, when I was praying this morning, I felt like there are numerous people here saying, I cannot have another year like last year. And you know that the gap is that you're just not connected with God. It's not like you didn't have a quiet time last night. It's like when you look inside your soul, you're lost, but you can come back. God, I thank you for those people perhaps today saying, Andrew, it is sin that's separating me from God. It is a wrong relationship. Maybe a secret sin that nobody else would know about, but friend, we know that God sees everything. God can forgive you of those sins. It's the whole reason he died on the cross. Or maybe you're here, you're saying, Andrew, I'm like you. You know, like, I'm worried. If I was like you, if I was a teenager facing death, if I was to walk out of this room and get hit by a car, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. There'd be a fear and uncertainty around that moment. But would you pray with me so I can have a relationship with God, walk in that relationship, have an assurance of my salvation? Come on, friend. If that's you, you say, I'm in one of those categories. I want you to lift up your hand just where you are right now. And I'm going to see those hands. Thank you, thank you. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Something's going to turn for me. Something's going to shift in Jesus' name. Who else? Thank you. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Thank you. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, should I, shouldn't I? Friend, how do you think the devil's going to come? Seriously. He's not going to stand before you like some cartoon character from Walt Disney holding a pitchfork and a red suit. He's just going to whisper to you, say, don't you do it. But if you know in your heart of hearts, lift, give God this opportunity, come into your life, rededicate your life to the Lord. Who else today? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. I'm going to push through. Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Thank you, the very back. Thank you, sir. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Just where you are. Come on, friend, just lift your hand. How hard is it to lift? How hard is it to lift? Not hard at all. Give God this moment. Thank you, sweetheart, at the very back. Thank you as well. Thank you. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Every person that lifted your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you know you should have, would you do me the honor of just lifting one more time? I want to see. In fact, I don't want to miss anybody. I'd like to count if I can. Could I do that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. At least 10 people. Let's give God a big, big hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on, why don't we all stand and let's just pray this prayer together. Put your hand on your heart. This prayer is a gateway prayer to a brand new relationship with God. Everything's about to change. Everything's about to turn around. Come on, pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus. Come on, church, a bit better than that. Dear Lord Jesus. This morning, I'm asking you into my life. As my Lord and Savior, I give you my life. I give you total control. Help me live for you every day in your presence. Forgive me for any wrongs, for any sin, because I know you died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin in Jesus' name. Today, I thank you that I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just pray for you. God, I thank you for every person that lifted their hand. or maybe didn't lift their hand, but prayed the prayer with earnest. Lord, you see everything. God, I thank you, Lord, that they are children of God. You say in your word that you remember our sin no more. They actually were a part of a family. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that today these people are blessed. God, I pray you'd prosper them, look after them, heal them. Lord, that today as they discover more and more about you or rediscover, Lord, that you would talk to them, visit them, give them dreams and visions, the great things they're going to be doing in and through you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's give God a big, big hand for that. Isn't he good? What if the worship team could come and join me? Listen, if you're sick, how about we just do it this way today? Because this is like a family kind of situation. Why don't you just come and stand in the front? I want to pray for you. Could the worship team come and join us? And if you're sick, as they come, just walk out of your seats. Just so that we can just pray for people. If you don't want me to pray for you, that's fine. I'm here for you. That's what we're here to do today. And let's believe together. You know, when we're praying, this is what I honestly believe. When I'm praying for people, I'm praying that my friend is going to get healed. I'm thinking this is my best friend, perhaps my mom or my dad. It actually changes the way we pray. And that's how we should pray. We'll teach that at our healed event, teach you how to move in the miraculous. Jesus was often moved with compassion when he prayed for people. So when we're praying for our friends today, I want you to be involved in praying as well. Don't think about the coffee just yet. We'll be just fine in just a moment, okay? And then when I'm praying for you, friends, it would be really great if you would just lift out your hand like you're about to receive something from God. Your posture kind of matters. A big teaching behind that. But also, not out loud so you don't feel embarrassed, but just 1,000 times over in your head. Say, God, thank you for healing me. Why is that? Because I don't want you to look to me. I want you to look to him. The Bible says, I lift up my eyes to the Lord. That's where your help's going to come from. If you look to me, it's not going to pan out that well. So, but this is a great atmosphere of faith. I'm honestly believing for incredible miracles. And after this, I want to pray for impartation for those people who perhaps feel like they've got a gift or want to have a gift of healing. And so, because I believe that some things are taught and some things are imparted into as well. And so that's why we always do that. But what was that great song we were singing, the last song? Oh, that's such a good song. Why don't we just sing that song? Come on, why don't you just lift your hands right now to God? Who are my catchers? Have we got some catchers here? Okay, well, one, two. We're going to start at this end, and then we're just going to work all the way up in the name of Jesus. Well, has somebody been in a car accident a long time ago and you're in a lot of pain as a result of that? I'm just going to put that out there. Is there somebody? Is that you, darling? Are you still in pain? Are you? Well, you better come. Oh, how are you today? Come up here. Are you two? Are you not good drivers? What's going on?
No, I was passing.
Oh, I'm just joking. Come up here, sweetheart. Come up here. Why? Were you not a good driver? Did you crash?
No, I'm
behind. Oh, don't be precious about it. It's all right. I've never crashed. Janine has a few times. I don't have. It's a bit of a coincidence. There's two girls on stage. I'm joking. Who knows that God still works with their eyes open? I'm serious. Listen. No, sweetheart, what's your name again?
Marie.
How long ago was the car accident?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
About a year and a half ago, something like that.
Have you been in pain pretty much ever since?
Comes and goes. Yeah.
And is it sore now?
It's uncomfortable when I do power walking.
Oh, I like it. Power walker. Where's the sorest bit?
Lower back? Yeah.
All right. We'll just come. Where's my catcher? Where are you, buddy? How many people have you dropped?
So
you don't fall down, darling. I don't want you to fall down. I want you to get healed today. Okay? Put your hand on her shoulder so you just Okay, so don't fall down. All right? You can get healed. You can get healed standing up, okay? People go, oh, that's impossible. No, I'm telling you. God works with your eyes open, smiling. I've lost half the crowd. You go, oh, we're like the other evangelists where everybody falls down. Honestly, you guys, he's way bigger than you think. I never want people to feel like they have to fall down because the guy's in town. That's not the agenda. The agenda is always to get healed. You know, like when she touched his garment, she didn't fall down. Yeah. All right. Okay. Too much. There. Right. The whole church is stretching out their hands and praying. Not the back row. Don't want to do it. It's not your friend. Okay. I understand. If this was your mum, you'd be praying a bit louder than you're praying now. That's what I'm saying, church. These are the things we're going to help you with. This is our friend. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, infirmity and sickness, I bind and break its power in the name of Jesus. 2 years of pain, 2 years of uncomfortableness, in the name of Jesus, I command healing to fall on her life. I come against every spoken word for every doctor, nurse, as well-meaning as they are not God. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of those words in Jesus' name. I command her vertebrae. Here comes warmth coming into your back. That's healing. That's called the Holy Spirit coming into your back right now. I command that vertebrae to strengthen and straighten in the name of Jesus. Her hip to be healed in the name of Jesus. Right now, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. It just got warmer. Can you feel that warmth coming? Don't fall down. You've got a skirt on. Father, in the name of Jesus, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. It's true. Can you feel that warmth? I'm not making that up, am I? As hot as anything, because I'm like sweating under this jacket, as I can feel the power of God. Oh, I like that you did that. Now listen, this is going to be your new forever. I see pain leaving your body. You're going to laugh again, the goodness of God. I see family members. Listen, God's talking to me about family members. You've been scared to bring them to church, but they've been on your heart. You need to call them again. They're going to come. They're going to get saved. Miracle's going to happen. Miracle's going to happen in Jesus' name. It's going to be one of the great turnaround stories of all time. You're like, oh, I didn't want to invite them. They're crazy. They're like, you'd call them like, but yeah, God's going to make a way for you. Oh, he's so kind. You know, he sees everything in the name of Jesus. How are you feeling as I'm praying for you? You feel good?
Great.
You look great. That's going to be a big deal, isn't it? You know why God, I honestly believe that God told me to tell you that, is because God doesn't want you to live in fear, but also, just as you bend down, you'll find, just bend down just a little bit, you'll find yourself just, it's warm, huh?
Yeah, actually more than warm.
Tell these guys, what does it feel like, please? Because they don't
know. It feels, I've got flexibility now, I'm not stiff.
You're not stiff?
No.
You're not stiff?
No. And it's still warm, actually. The hot water bottle is still there.
Honestly, that's what healing feels like. Like, when you don't know what healing feels like, it's like, oh, it feels warm. That's what healing feels like. It's like, when pain leaves your body, that's called healing. It's like, I like this church. You got to help the brother out, okay? It's called working in miracles. Now, I need to say this. I'm going to say it to everybody. Please, every time you think about this situation, just say, God, thank you for healing me, just for the next 48 hours. Because the devil is sneaky. In fact, he's only got one little trick. He's in the car park, you know that. That's where he lurks around. Doesn't like church so much. He visits, but he's in the car park, and he whispers to us, it's not going to last. And when that seed gets in, we talk about this, all this stuff, but in a healed event, but when the seed enters, then it's like, oh, and then a little sniff of pain comes back, and you go, oh, it didn't work. And as soon as that thought comes, phew, a flood. What's he trying to steal? The Bible says he steals. He steals your healing. So that's why Remember I said there's a fight for your miracle. How do you fight as a Christian? God, thank you for healing. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. Jesus, thank you for my healing. Thank you for my healing. He's already done it. God, thank you for my healing. And then you'll find that week without pain turns into a month. The month turns into a year, a lifetime. This is your new forever in Jesus' name. How good would that be? I think that's pretty good. Good? I like you. I wasn't teasing you too much. Hello. It's going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. Where's it sore? Where has it been sore? Just in your lower back?
It's been in my lower back and my hip. It comes and goes.
Comes and goes. Let's make it just go. No more comes.
Yeah.
Who thinks that? I'm in for more going than coming. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands. Here comes the power of God. You know, I feel even there's been a desire in your life to heal people. And instantly, as I saw you, I felt like God is going to give you that gift of healing. It's around you. You're going to lay hands on sick people. They're going to recover. And Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I command that pain to go and her back. Same prayer. Lord, I thank you for that. All those words spoken over her life saying she's going to have physio and go to the chiropractor. It's not true. Lord, by your stripes we're healed. Break the power of those thoughts, Lord. This is going to be her new forever. Everything's turning around. Everything's changing. I command that vertebrae to straighten and strengthen. Her vertebrae, Lord, healed in the name of Jesus. Her hip healed. No more pain in Jesus' name. Here comes warmth coming into your back as well. Can you feel that? It's the same. I know. It's the same. Oh, God, he's kind to us. He's so kind, friends. He's bigger than we think. If we would just believe, if we just knew what to do, I'm telling you, miracles would be all around us, all the time. God's healing, touching people's lives in the name of Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. In Jesus' name. So powerful. In Jesus' name. Can you feel that warmth getting stronger? Man, that's amazing. There's some faith in this room today, I think. Pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. Great church. Great feeling here. In Jesus' name. Don't fall down. Have you got a skirt? No, you can fall down. That's fine. That's fine. Just a joke. Just a joke. How you bend down to touch your toes a little bit or do something. It's called faith in action. Always test it out. You know, always give yourself a bit of a wiggle. How are you feeling? Okay, 48 hours, got to say, God, thank you for healing me. Just lift your hands. Just take a seat just down there, darling. I need the worship team to come. I need to pray for you. That's why I can feel the power of God. We'll sing that song. Just sing that song over. Where am I going? I'm going to start here. That's where I'm going to start. Sing that song. Come on, lift your hands. Create an atmosphere of faith. Come on, we've got just a few more minutes. Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Come on, darling. I don't need to know. I don't need to know. A faith, a word, darling. You've got to listen.
A word.
You've got to pray right now. The power of God falling over this life.
To him who sits
power of God, just make sure you put your hand on his shoulder. You don't need to hold him up. Just put a hand on his shoulder. Here comes the power of God over you,
worthy
Father.
Is the Lamb.
Father, right now, the power of God healing this land. His ankle in the name of Jesus. Power of God, other ailments as well. Power of God, falling. Here comes.
Holy,
power of God, touching his knees today. Right now, the power of God, let it fall. Just keep the lights just the way it is. Father, right now, the power of God. Let it fall. Healing right now. Power of God, falling. Just go, God, thank you for healing. Don't worry about me. Just go, God, thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Here comes the power of God.
Holy,
you said a miracle in the name of Jesus right now, the power of God. Let it fall. Where's my catches? Come on, man. Father, in the name of Jesus right now. Power of God, he's got you. Father God, right now, the power of God.
With all creation, I sing praise to my King of Kings. You are my everything.
Come on, be a quick, guys.
Adore you.
You're going to have to move a bit faster.
Yes.
Here comes the power of God. He's got you. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, right now, healing over this life. A miracle in Jesus.
Chloe.
Here comes the power of God. Fall, let it fall, let it fall.
rainbows of living colors, flashes of light.
In the name of Jesus, right now, the power of God, falling over your life right now.
Blessing and honor, strength and glory, power be to you, the only one.
Here comes. Healing in Jesus' name. Everything's going to turn around. Everything's about to change in the name of Jesus. Right now, the power of God falling. Healing. In the name of Jesus. Right now, he's got your brother. In the name of Jesus. Every person, you feel a call of God to lay hands on sick people, I want you to come on stage right now. You feel that in your bones. I want you to pray. Just come quick as you can. Lift your hands to heaven. Father God, right now, power of God. I need some catchers standing behind these people. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, the power of God, let it fall, let it fall. Keep on singing that song, sweetheart. You're doing such a good job. Father, in the name of Jesus. Where's my catchers? The anointing of God so strong. I'm telling you now. Power of God falling. Anoint him. Anoint these hands, Father God, for miracles in the name of Jesus right now. The power of God falling on him. In the name of Jesus right now. The power of
Jesus, your name is
in the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost falling. Let it fall. Let it fall.
Such a marvelous mystery.
Miracles. Lift your hands in the presence of God right now, in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now over every person. Lord, that there be a sense of belief again, that nothing is impossible with you. Nothing's impossible. Lord, our hardest circumstances, Lord, is still not impossible for you. Come on, friend, just with your eyes closed. I want you to think about your hardest circumstance. And I want you to give it to God today. Say, God, today nothing's impossible with you. See that person coming to Christ. See that house being sold. See that new job. Whatever it is, God can do it. God, we honor you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, if you believe that today, could you give them the biggest, biggest clap? Isn't he good? Pastor Andrew.
Amen. Wasn't that wonderful? And if you make your way back to your seat, you can. If you can do that. Do you know what I believe for the next season for us is the people that we're reaching, we're called to reach as a church, we're going to need healing in this house. Amen. And I specifically wanted Andrew, Pastor Andrew, to pray to release that into the house. And I really do believe that's what's been. I'm going to believe from this Sunday onwards, we're just going to see. And I was talking to Richard, I mentioned this the other week. We have a great prayer chain through Texas. And he was telling me the other day that almost 80% of the people we pray for get healed. He gets responses back through our prayer chain. And it's growing. But the amount of people that we're called and the type of people we're called to reach as a church, we've got to carry what I believe is deliverance and what I believe is healing. And I had a great chat with Andrew upstairs and we talked about it. He said, you know what? He said, this is your words. He said, a lot of healing is to do with deliverance. Amen? The enemy gets behind and gets involved in people's bodies and what have you, and there's got to be some people set free from it. Amen? And I just believe this next season, and it's the reason why I asked Pastor Andrew to come and be a part of this today, just to really start something and stir something in this place. Amen? And I want to make sure we have room in our services just to pray for people for healing. Amen? So we're going to do that. And what we're going to do right now, we're just going to do what we do whenever we have, you know, great men of God that have actually sacrificed to do what they're doing. And we're going to take up what we call a love offering. And it's to honor and to sow into this ministry for Andrew Kabbalah and Janine and their whole family. And I want us to prepare right now. There's a card and a seat there. There's an FPOS machine at the back in the corner. Someone will be waiting there. Any finance from here will go directly towards their ministry. And we're going to make sure that they're blessed in this place. You can make checks out, make them out to Bay City Church. We'll make sure that they all go towards him and his ministry. So right now, I'm just going to pray. Why don't we pray for Andrew Kabbalah? Why don't you stretch your hands towards him? God, I do. I thank you for this man of God. And God, I thank you for the way he honors you, God, with his life and his service. And God, allowing himself to be used by you. God, I thank you for the anointing on his life. I thank you for the price that he has paid. God, like a Paul. God, he's the belief that he's allowed to grow in his life and the faith that he's released in his life to allow you to use him in such a powerful way. And God, I pray that you would continue to, God, that you would just open doors of opportunity, that his ministry will go from strength to strength, God. And I thank you for the impartation that he has brought into this house. And we just believe for great reward from it. And I believe for great reward and protection over his family, his finance, God, and every area of his life. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. So why don't we just take an offering right now? And I've got a few of his things there. Believe, TV, you guys should, up in the corner there, in the right-hand corner, we've got some products and things from him. I would get a hold of it. If you're stirred about healing, then get a hold of this material and just take it home and soak in it. Amen? Put it in your car and really believe that, you know, listen to it at home, in your car, wherever you can. Fill yourself with the Word of God. When you've had a moment, then we're going to stand to our feet. We're going a bit over, so we'll finish right here. When you've had an opportunity to give, why don't you stand?